Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And back with us, we have the fabulous, the wonderful Abigail Burdett.
Oh, hello!
Welcome back. You have been on the podcast before, but it was years ago, Abigail.
We were just going down a little memory lane there, weren't we? Oh. About how many years it was. About 10 years?
Yes, yeah, almost. Yeah.
What's been going on with you, Abigail?
I still have my sanity back then, so that was... It's a while ago now. What's been going on? I've 10 years worth of life.
Yeah. How old are your kids now, can I ask?
They're teenagers. Well, there's 13 and 11.
Oh, yeah.
So they're actually good. They're kind of pre-arsehole.
Yeah.
So they're, like, I hear from other people with a 13-year-old, they're like, mine are not yet in that. They're just teetering on the edge of becoming awful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was it you always say about tweens?
Tweens. Helen? They're in between being a child and an arsehole.
That's in between.
Yes, exactly. That's one of our lines
for money on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's great. I've echoed you unconsciously.
Yeah.
No, they're like, mine's a sort. They're sort of practicing being arseholes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, my eldest has kind of got hold of sarcasm.
Oh yeah.
So, and she'll do sick burns, like she thinks about sick burns all day, and then she comes home and tries her sick burns on me, and they're like really genuinely wounding, and then she's like, did I do that well? And I'm like, yes.
That's really good for you.
Into my heart.
Oh, yeah. I love sarcasm.
It's good. What a skill, though.
Yeah, that's nice. You're an excellent mother.
A thing, you know, in your Facebook, you know, your Facebook memories thing, something popped up on mine yesterday from a few years ago, where someone had I'd written an article and someone had tweeted me to say, memo to Ellie Gibson, sarcasm is the lowest form of wit.
Oh.
And I'd just been like, memo to this person, I'm unlikely to take any advice who starts a message with memo to. Fuck yourself.
Fuck off.
What is wrong with people? I love a bit of sarcasm.
That's our brand.
I really like it. Yeah. I'm really into it. Anyway.
Oh. I've actually disabled all those memories. I get one, I delete it.
Wouldn't it be great if you could do that with your actual
exactly.
brain?
Wouldn't that be marvellous? So you just eat in memento in your real life all the time.
Just that incident in the playground in 1986. Oh, delete.
No,
gone. Bloody love that.
Yeah.
I think Barry Ferns called it a shame shudder, but I used to call it the remorse horse. When you get that sort of thing, you go, whoa, that's a horrible feeling. You're like, I've read about that.
And it is a biological thing that you have a physical reaction. Or I do like sometimes if I remember something embarrassing, I have to go, ha ha, like something like that. And my kids are like, are you all right? And I'm like, nothing, just thinking about a date I went on in 2001. Don't worry about it.
Apparently you can medicate out of it. Like, you can, I mean, obviously you can medicate out of it.
You can medicate out of fucking anything.
Yes. But there's, apparently it's a B12 or something deficiency.
Is it?
And if you feel the shape, there's something that, like, if you like Marmite, that whole Marmite,
love
not
Marmite,
like Marmite, it's because you are ashamed.
I'm not ashamed. It's like
shame
your fucking Marmite.
So
bloody love it.
Like the Marmite, the needing the Marmite is because you've got a deficiency, a vitamin deficiency, which is the same. It's the same deficiency which makes you feel shame.
Oh, that's why it's so big in Britain.
I don't know if I'm making this up.
I like it.
I think it's this. I read this. Yes,
but riddle me this. anyone who's seen our stage show, or indeed anything we've ever done, will know that Helen and I have no shame.
None.
Like,
we've talked
about a lot of time people say, oh, you're so brave wearing them tight costumes, going out talking about your vag on stage. You're so brave. And we always say, no, it's because bravery implies a presence of something. What we have is an absence. We have an absence of
we
shame.
We lack a lot. Yeah.
Shame pride. Deficit.
So you're talking shit, Abigail.
It's
this has got off to a really good start.
What you have is like more of an attention deficit than you have a shame.
Oh, no.
We definitely need a lot of attention.
So you go like, I need the attention more than the shame. So is what? That, I don't know.
No,
right.
I know
that's
it. No, we're
true
tasked
of me.
For attention.
Like, that's what I want. I'm like, please love me. Oh, just give me a
all day long.
Bit of love.
But do you like Marmite?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I do like
you
Marmite.
Do.
See,
we're all in it. We've
never heard that. I'm going to Google that.
Oh, I love it. No, I'm taking it as fact.
You're completely wrong, isn't it? And you're going to go, which
I bet it's been made up by the Marmite marketing board. It's like Big Pharma, but Big Pharmite. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about, Helen?
We're talking about our wonderful guest. So
sorry.
Abigail.
Just talking about me, really enjoying it though.
So you've got two tweens. What have you learned from them though? Because like I think, I mean, not going to say that girls are more interesting than boys, but they sort of are in many ways.
Don't you just said that?
Literally just said that. But I find teenage girls inherently fascinating because they're growing up in this weird social media world, and you know, definitions of women are changing and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I'm learning a lot, obviously patience and not wanting to scream at the walls all the time because I've got a 14-year-old. But I love her very much. She listens very, very challenging. And I'm now finding techniques, like when she really shits me, I just said, I put my voice very low and go, I need to take 5 minutes out right now. And that's when I sort of go into the loo and vape for 5 minutes and then come back and go, okay, let's talk about piercing your septum again. Yes, please. Yes, that's great. No, tell me your opinions on feminism. That's lovely. instead of screaming at her. So I'm learning a lot. And also, but sometimes that, is there a equivalent to mansplaining when teens
teensplaining.
Yes, that's what I find very challenging as well.
Them telling you all about your life is like.
Yes, and what it's like for a woman, and they've had like three periods, and you know they're very worldly all of a sudden.
That's
and
nice.
Yes. I listen and then I tell her how she's wrong.
Mine are more like the terrifyingly. One of them's still very cute.
Mm. 11 is divine.
Yeah, but in that kind of like it, you know, like in a it's a horrible daytime movie way. Like at the you know, like the kid. That's how I feel about her. Like she's the kid at the beginning of a daytime movie who's like, hello. Hello, mummy. I love you so much. You're so beautiful. You make me so happy. You're the best mummy in the whole world. And you're like, something bad is coming for this kid. Do you know what I mean? It's too nice. And you're like, please don't be so nice. Don't be so nice. You're gonna, it's like, I literally just like, oh no, don't say that. Say something awful.
No.
I mean, something bad is coming, which is, you know, puberty. And life, it's just like, you're like, life is coming towards you. But
No, mine are 8 and 11. So I still say stupid things like, promise me you'll never leave. Things like that. And like my 8-year-old came in the other day and went, mummy, I've come up with a solution. And I went, I couldn't even remember what problem we were talking about. Okay. Yeah. And he went, I am going to move out of the house with you and dad, but I'm going to buy a house on the same road. So technically... Oh my God, never change. And I was like, and then Pete was like, maybe we could have a tunnel. And he was like, all right, just no, we'll see.
I need some boundaries, guys. Yeah.
So, I'm not looking forward to all that.
Did the first, you know, I will have to move out some point.
Oh, God, it's like,
will you no, you won't.
Have you seen the London housing market? Good luck with that. Speaking of mothers, it is Mother's Day soon.
Very soon.
Yes. And why is Mother's Day this year special to you? This is us trying
yes.
Why is it special to you, Abigail?
Well, I'm very glad that you asked me that.
Welcome.
It's because I've written a book.
Yes!
What's it called?
It's called Mother's Day.
Yes!
Of course it is. You've written not just a book, it's a novel. You've written an actual novel.
It's a novel. Oh, it's a thriller.
Helen likes numbers when we're talking books. How many words?
94,000.
How many pages?
I think it's 335.
How many chapters?
18.
If this is an audiobook, how long will it be?
Have you done the audiobook?
I did the audiobook, yeah.
Oh. Are you okay?
It's forever.
Is that enough numbers for you, Helen? Just to
whets my appetite for numbers. Right, I do like that. But yeah, reading the audiobook must have been... I find it really confronting when I did mine. Like, you put all your heart and soul into thinking, oh, yeah. And then you have to, like, actually say it out loud and go, did I really want to say that bit? Or you maybe feel very confident in everything
I just really don't. I mean, obviously you see all the errors as soon as you
yes,
but also I had a lovely producer who kept, because mine's very scary, who just kept kind of wheeling the chair backwards into the window in the little booth where I was doing it, and going, doing this face like Edvard Munch's The Scream, just going
amazing.
Every time I was just like, oh my God.
Was she trying to get you in the mood?
She was just like, this is insane.
That was her response to the text.
This is just nuts. Yeah. What is going on? So I was like, it's good that she's having a reaction.
Look at the audience of one.
Yeah, it's like an audience of one. Going, oh, is
here's
that
my
face?
Play.
Yeah. Now, apparently this is the face that you make.
Because without giving it away, obviously, but the book is dark, isn't it?
It's super dark. So it's a thriller. It's got jokes in it. Yeah. But it's a dark, like, you can buy it for your mum if you've got a really good relationship with your mum. It's very, very dark, yes. Yes.
In terms of emotional themes or this gory bits and,
It's about, in terms of the emotion, so it's about, and the bloodiness of it. Yeah. So it's about a woman, Anna, who got left on a traffic island when she was a baby. And then 35 years later, she finds a clue in the same bag she was left in to her mother's name.
Oh.
And she meets her birth mother. She's this eccentric millionaire, very exciting woman. And she's like, come into my family. And you start to go, is this all right? Set up all right. Yeah. So it's one of those ones. It's like a domestic suspense.
Because I'm fascinated by it, because my great grandma was left on a doorstep. So she was at a founding. So we'll sort of never know, you know, where she came from. But in a way, I've never looked into it because I sort of like not knowing, because then I can pretend that we're actually royalty. Yeah. Or
yes,
you're probably the Romanovs or something.
Yeah, someone said to me, it might have been Jack the Rippers, and I was like, that's a lovely
story.
That's a nice thought.
But basically,
I'm a Tsarina.
There is that thing, isn't there, of like, what does that mean about me, and what does, because my dad didn't know who his family were, and like, so really, I suppose there's lots of that in there, kind of like, what does that mean about who I am? And if I find out that my mum was actually whatever,
does it bother you? Are you interested in that side of your family?
I'm a bit interested. And after I'd written it, I spoke to my own mum about it. She was like, she was left on a traffic island, like your best friend. And I was like,
what?
I know. And she, like your best friend when you were little was left on a traffic island. On a traffic island. I was like, that's so weird. I hadn't remembered that consciously at all, but I just obviously hit gone in. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. That makes my story look quite shit, actually. I'm going to wish you hadn't said that.
a foundling is an interesting thing of like that whole, like, how much of it's a whole nurture-nature thing going on. It's like, why am I like what I'm like? And what will I find out about myself when I find my family? And I think a lot of people feel like if they don't know... I'm being very serious now.
No, it's good.
If they don't know their family and their genetic family, that somehow means something about them. I went out with a guy who was who had been adopted, and he'd gone across... He was black, and his mum... So he's half black American and half white American, and then he was adopted in England and brought up by white parents, and it was really significant to him, like his whole history and going to find his birth parents and stuff. So I was kind of thinking about him when I got the idea. I started writing the book when I saw this woman on Facebook who'd been a foundling and had found her mum really suddenly. Do you remember when there was that bit of Facebook where everybody had those like little signs like Bob Dylan video and they were like, I was left on a train carriage.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, yeah. That was a big,
thing like 10 years ago.
Mm.
And then she had just, and the people, so people found their family really quickly and then they didn't know what to do because it's like their whole life changed really, really suddenly. So I saw this woman and she said that she'd found her mum and she's like, I just hope I'm the daughter she's been dreaming of all these years.
Oh, God. Mm. Oh, God, the pressure.
Exactly.
That's nuts.
Exactly. How was it? What happened?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, so you've turned that curiosity into,
what would that be like if you did actually, you know, if you found somebody who was not trustworthy and not reliable?
Because that's it. We've heard Yeah. So my grandmother was brought up as her mother's sister.
It's the sequel, number two.
So, because in the day, if you had a baby out of wedlock, then it wasn't. So, her mother was actually her, who she thought was her older sister was actually.
Yes, I am.
And how old was she when she? How was your mum when she found out about that?
I can't remember. It was significantly older than mum. Was like, oh, why was this auntie so nice to me? But it was actually her grandmother. And so those sort of, but it just sort of ruptures your kind of understanding of things. And then, so she didn't know who her grandfather was and all that. They're so interesting about, you think, well, you know, I know who I am because of, you know, my job and my friends and these are things. But the unknown has such an impact on you as well, about how you process things and your relationships, all those undercurrents. But
that's absolutely like in one of the biggest twists in the book, which I won't give away, was based on something that's absolutely real. So, you know, you find out these secrets about yourself, and like there are big secrets in lots and lots of families.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of families. You've got just out of you two, you've got a foundling. I think it's interesting, even for those of us who haven't got those kind of secrets, just in terms of thinking about. It's about how much, what a real family is, like, and how much a family is genetics, and how much a family is nurture and care, and what is familial love. And
I like the
very pointy headed and serious.
I was just wondering, what is the oldest you can leave a child on a traffic island? Because I've just had a very difficult half turn, to be honest with you. I'm just wondering how long you can get away with that.
It's a bit like Paddington. Please look after this boy. Just put him in Paddington station and hope for the best, really.
Set up a nice life there. Just between the cones.
Give him a sandwich.
To be fair, most, you know, British people would just go on a traffic island to sunbathe. We're all like, tops off, come on, there's a bit of grass, a tiny bit of grass.
This is it. It's leisure time.
That was quite offensive when I came to the UK, actually. Quite an affront when the men just weren't wearing any tops.
You don't. She gets if she man in a, with a naked torso. She doesn't. Oh, I don't even see it. And then she'll be like, oh,
in the supermarket,
physically recoiling.
I'm like, sandwiches.
What? And she'll be like, that man's got no top on. I'll be like, well, you know, he's living his best life. Don't fat shame him. He's all right. Gets very upset.
Oh, I find it very offensive.
Do you not get your top out? Do you not sunbathe?
No. I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind being in the nude. No.
Have you never done a topless sunbathe?
Oh, I have back. I wouldn't now. My boobs have disappeared. When they were big and juicy, I would quite willingly get them out.
Where?
In France. And I did in Ibiza.
Oh, they're all at it in France. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when I was in Ibiza though, there was a man in the nude.
In the 80s, my parents used to take us, because in the 80s, like, Ibiza wasn't like it is, all of that. It was just fucking hippies, wasn't it? So there's photos of my parents naked on this beach in Ibiza, because that was the thing. Mm. And I'm sitting there in a sundress and a big hat, just looking at her like, oh, fuck these hippies. Like, this is bullshit.
Silly people.
Bring it back. What about you? Mm. Do you like a tits out on the beach, Abigail? Come on, feminism.
Well, us 10 years ago, yeah. Yeah. Probably, but not now.
No.
No, no one wants to see that.
We're all too tired.
To just roll them up.
Oh, it's, I was going to say this for Scummy Mummy's Confession, but I think it's got more of a thing now. Now that I've just got these two little crumpets, very thin crumpets, just hanging off the front, I was wearing a vest to bed, and then I was just lying in bed, and in Sunday mornings, the kids hop into bed with me, and just one bit of skin flap was just resting under my armpit, and my daughter turned to me and said, "Is that a boob?" I was like,
it was.
Yes,
memory
yes,
of boob,
is.
Essence of boob. Aww. It was just this sort of fold of skin, as you would say. I just touched. And
I was saying, as you would say, like I spend my whole life
she's
talking
always
about
talking
your
about
breasts.
Folds.
Oh, just
she's always looking
gently
at them.
Stroking her underarm. But yeah, I was like, no, that's what happens. And they're like, but you could just get a boob job. I'm like, this is not the conversation I want to have. Oh. Can we just have some hot cross buns downstairs?
Just
instead?
Get a boob job.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
That is a burn.
That's a burn.
Extreme.
Yeah, and I got pubic hair shamed by my. The other day, the kids are like, "Why are you
going?" Back to pubes again.
Why are you going out? And I was like, "I've got an appointment." And they're like, "Where are you going?" This is what happens. You get interrogated.
She's got a lie.
I'm a very bad liar. Very, very bad.
I say I'm a serial killer. That explains why I'm out at all hours of the night. Always doing a wash.
A lot of bleach.
Yeah.
A lot of bleach.
That's great.
Bin bags.
That. I've got that on my wall. I've got, that massive board from my novel writing. Like a huge board that makes me look like either a detective or a serial killer.
So you're like clear
days. Like loads and loads of pictures and like exactly.
Just some knives. Just a couple of knives.
Shame. Sorry.
So I was like, I've got an appointment. They're like, where are you going? What are you doing? And then I just went, I'm just getting my bikini waxed. And my daughter was like, you don't have to, who are you doing that for? I'm like, I'm doing for, I think it looks nice. And she's like, you don't, and then she just, completely.
Can't you just say, I'm doing it for the guy, whatever guy I'm sleeping with. That's what I'm doing it for. And that's fine. Yeah. That's so that I get laid.
Yeah.
That's, which is for me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like, why shame somebody? It's like, no, this will work. I find this very difficult with the whole, guys, you've got to dress for yourself stuff. Because I'm like, obviously, most of the time I dress for myself.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I dress in order to get laid.
Yeah.
Because, that works.
Yeah, it feels like a nice thing.
Well, I undress in order to get laid, but each to their own. I mean, take my top off. We are on. Everyone knows that's the signal.
Is that the signal?
We are go. She hasn't put on the woolly pyjamas that button up to the neck. Here we go. We are off, lads.
The flag. The sex flag is waving.
I'm so bad at giving those signals. I'm really bad at it. I'll be literally like, I put on a slightly lighter dernier of tights. I am signalling very clearly.
That's clearly. That's
sexy times. You're absolutely right. Well, because we got sent some sexy lingerie, haven't we, in our Insta whoring stuff, do you remember?
Oh, we got, wow.
You chose the Dita Fontes. Successful.
I always think she looks a bit pasty, to be honest, but she's a very pretty lady, hasn't
she? Needs to take her top off in England.
Come to fucking Croydon and get your tits out, then we'll see. That's feminism right there. I keep looking over at your notes and I've seen you've written Beowulf. What do you think this is? In Our Time with Melvin Bragg?
This was from Woman's Hour.
Sorry.
She brought the wrong
notes.
She
wouldn't even know who Beowulf is. She thinks it's a wrestler from WWE.
I thought that was a film in the 80s, wasn't it? With Michael J. Fox.
Beowulf.
That'd be great.
That's different.
I would totally watch a film of Beowulf.
I would watch it now.
With Michael J. Fox. But dressed in the Teen Wolf outfit.
That would be the best.
That's what I thought she meant. But anyway, never mind.
I'm sorry, that is for a recommendation for a book club that I have to do.
Oh, you're reading Beowulf in the book club.
I thought, it's about making recommendations for books with great female villains. What about Beowulf?
Yeah, because there's no female villains in Teen Wolf. Otherwise, you could recommend that.
I could do that one.
Why don't you? Yes.
There must be a novelisation.
Must be.
At least a graphic novel. Who's written the novelisation?
I'm actually reading the book of Caddyshack 2 at the moment. It's marvellous. It's really marvellous. I should go on a good read again and
yes,
talk about it.
Yes, you should.
Yes.
I mentioned I was on Radio 4. I don't like to talk about it.
The other day I looked at BBC Sounds and I just put in Ellie Gibson because I was going to listen to your lovely Radio 4 thing. And there you are all over the shop.
Done four things. I'm basically Jenny Murray. That's yeah. who I am now. That's basically.
I put in my name and Helen Skelton came up instead. I was like, well, there we are.
She's great though, so.
I love, yeah, no. I much prefer to listen to her than myself, to be honest. One should never Google themselves. That's the good rules.
Shall we get... Have you said enough about your book? I feel like we've not... I feel like we've just, as usual, talked about us and not
I just talked about my fanny again. That's and my children's disapproval.
I suppose I could say that, like, it's about that. I suppose the relevance for you guys is that it's about that fight you have with your own mother about how to parent your kids.
Yes.
Mm. So I just wonder if there's anything, if that's a useful... I got some fun, like, my mum does stupid stuff. Like, she always brings dangerous presents. That was the only thing I thought to like, so I was like, you know, maybe there's, I could do a segue into that.
Yes.
Of like, you know, of like the like, how do you bring up your kid? Because there's a lot of that, isn't there? Like, with, you know, my mum traditionally brings round, like, things which are very, very dangerous for the children. So that's...
like what?
Like
a penknife, a gun?
I think when she was two... Yeah, I mean, when my eldest was two, my mum brought a nativity set that was made of porcelain.
Perfect.
And she was like, just don't let her play with it. Because it will smash into shards. And I was like, the shards, isn't it? But once she brought them a plastic bag full of burnt corks.
Oh.
What? And I was like, literally, she was like, I thought that they could daub them around the kitchen. Like, it would be fun.
And she burned them herself.
Yeah, she, like, burnt the ends so that they could destroy stuff with them.
Amazing.
But also, it was corks and a plastic bag. She once brought, I let her take out the baby in the, and she, I came back, I was like, well, what's she playing with? What's she playing with? And I was like, oh, it was just a little thing I thought was pretty. And I picked it out and it was like this brightly coloured thing that looked like a butterfly, but it was a set of nail clippers.
Oh, so Jesus Christ.
She could have like clipped off her own finger with
them.
It was literally like made bright for a baby to like...
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? She was like, I don't know. But she's all that stuff and nonsense for your health and safety. Why, you know, it's all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just like, I think a lot of that generation are just a bit like, you guys put, you know, wrap them in cotton wool.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I mean, it's just hard to know why you've written this novel, this violent novel about this.
I can't join the dots. I can't. I'm out, Ellie. I can't see.
The mother of my novel is not actually my mother. Although I have said to my mum, she does have the mother does have a lot of my mum's charm.
Charm.
She's very kind of like, you know, effusive and eccentric and funny. So I was like, okay, that's...
I like it.
Yeah, good.
But also, like, you know, I think it's good to show the darkness between the daughter and the... And the mother in this kind of way, because, you know, we all want to know the good stories. We want to know, but in the end, they love each other and all that sort of stuff. Like, but inherently, it's fucking difficult. And also, when you become a mum, I found my relationship with my mother change significantly.
Really?
Like, in terms of like how I perceived what she had to go through. I was one of five kids. I thought, what do you do that for? That's a lot of work, you know. And understanding my relationship, but also. Now when, like, my teenage daughter does something, mum goes, mm-hmm, uh-huh, yeah. Oh, it's hard, is it? Yeah. Mm. And I thought, you know, she gets it. But then, I don't know, it just sort of, I guess I saw my mum as a much more real person when I became a mum, because I kind of go, I get why some days you're really calm and other days you just wanted to yell at us all and all sorts of things. So I had a deeper understanding of that, in a way. I don't know. Did it change for you guys? I just said a lot of
no,
stuff.
No, that was interesting. I definitely, like, my mum was one of those, when you're a mother, you'll understand.
Yeah.
And I think, I found the opposite.
See, this is good. This is what I, yeah.
Which is that as I've become a mother, the more the things she did, I'm like, what were you thinking?
So, yeah. I would, like, never do that.
Yeah. Do that. So, like, quite a lot of things. But, you know, I think it's also just a different time, isn't it? Where, like, you know.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone the other day. Their parents used to wrap them in a duvet. And they went around a friend's house and just leave them in the back of the car.
Amazing.
And, like, now we'd be like, what?
My parents were quite... My parents are quite into safety. They're quite into safety. But yeah, we had some friends, some family friends, and I used to go and, you know, hang out with them for old days and sleepovers and things. It was all very jolly. And they were sort of compared to us, quite posh, these friends. And they had a VW Beetle, right? So me and their little girl, we'd be in the back of the Beetle, and they would drive us, like, and we'd go and have lunch. And they quite liked to drink. And I didn't really know that at the time, but in late, I've gone, because after lunch, very often we'd drive home and we'd say, can we do it? Can we do it? And they'd say, yeah. And we'd take the roof off, the canvas roof off the Beetle, and my friend and I would stand on the back seat and we would stick our heads out the roof of the car. Amazing. While they drove us around London. No, in my memory, we did it all the time. It probably happened like one time for about 2 minutes. But for me, it was a really like happy, joyous memory.
Giddy
for like
years. Times.
And then years later, like, I was like, oh
wow. I have a few of those. Yeah. But like my mum was even now she's like, bah, it's only four drinks.
I can drive.
Five and drive.
We went to this, we did this gig in this pub in Somerset years ago. And we met all these really pissed women afterwards, and we were like, I was like, are you all right to drive? And mother went, oh, five and drive, darling, five and drive. And I was like, what? She's like, as long as you've only had five wines, you're perfectly fine to drive.
I'm from Catford. We don't have that.
That's country as well, isn't it? It's the difference between town and country, because you can't get anywhere. Like, so you couldn't go to the pub.
It's not like you couldn't drink. It's not like you could not drink. Don't be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think there's quite a lot of that between our generation and my parents' generation, that of the whole, like, don't wrap them in cotton wool.
Shared some scummy mummy confessions on behalf of other people already. We do like to share a scummy mummy confession. Mine is, it was just half term at the time of recording. And I tried to take my children for a lovely day out. We went to the Cutty Sark in Greenwich, which is, you know, big ship, walk around the ship. That's all done in about 40 minutes. And then you're like, what are we doing now? Because obviously my kids don't want to read all the fascinating murals. They don't want to listen to
boring
the speakers with the voices of the people.
They just want to scroll through Instagram.
They just want to go. Because the little ones he just wanted to go on the steering wheel thing, as he called it, the ship's wheel. And then he wanted to hide in the little sailor's bunk bed. That was about 37 minutes. That he refused to come out of the sailor's bunk bed, while me and the 11-year-old just sort of mooched around going, ugh. So there was that. So then I was like, well, what are we going to do now? That was really expensive. And now we're in Greenwich. And now, what the fuck? So I was like, we're going mudlarking. And they were like, what? And I was like, I don't know. I've read about it on Instagram. We go down to the Thames and we go in the mud and we all find Roman coins and it's Victorian sailor's pipes.
Not just a load of tampons.
No,
needles here.
The best find that we had. So we're on this muddy riverbed and I'm like, oh, what? Oh, this is awful. And then my son's like, Mummy, I found something. And I'm like, what? And he's like, we've got one of these. It's a knit comb.
That is very handy.
So I obviously made up a story about how, you know, famously the Romans were always combing knits out of each other's hair. It was a real problem in Roman London, Londinium. They didn't give a shit. That was my scummy half term.
What a lovely thing. In half term, I went on a date for St. Valentine's Day.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so that was very nice.
You're using your voice that you normally use when you're talking about sex. Why are you...
I didn't even have sex that night.
Does it just go a little bit more like that?
Yeah.
Did she just suddenly go a little bit...
I got very, very drunk and I came home and the babysitter's mother and my daughter were all waiting up for me and they're like, are you drunk? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I was very drunk anyway. But speaking of masturbation, we Again, very good about it. We have had to have very frank and open conversations about it because my son asked about it and he said, oh, you know,
what's... Do you need a license? Is there a course I can do?
Yeah. And so we've been very, you know, I've been the cool mum and he said, you know, what's jerking off? And I said, masturbation.
Jerking off? We're not Americans.
I know.
What do you think this is, Teen Wolf?
Well, it's the wank one. Don't say that.
Toss off at best. Toss one off.
So, yes. And
if you're going to move to this country, if you're going to be an immigrant from Australia, come to
British.
Britain, you've got to assimilate. You've got to speak the fucking language. Speak the language.
Oh, dear. So yeah, so I said, no, it's a lovely thing to do. And then the daughter yelled out very said, but you have to do it in your own room.
Where else was he proposing?
I don't know.
I think I bring very good advice.
Yeah. I said, we all do it, but we all do it in our own rooms and we don't have to tell each other that we've done it or we're doing it. I said, it's a lovely thing. And he said, well, do you do it? I'm like, everybody does it. And then it's like, that's okay. Anyway, cheese on toast. Yeah. So that was...
I need some Marmite. I need a lot of Marmite. Get the Marmite.
Get the Marmite.
Get the Marmite. God,
just a little hit. Hit me again. Oh. No, the first one didn't work. So lots going on. Very
full and frank.
Yes.
That's why they get in the big box.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Do you want a parenting failure from me?
Yes, please. Abigail, what's your scummy mummy confession, please?
I had to go back a long way to find anything to share with you. No, and this is a really genuinely bad thing, so please don't write in because I know it's very bad. But
always do worse things for the guest's sake, so it's fine. I'll say something bad.
I once, when my child was slightly smaller, I took off her shoes and I saw that her feet looked a bit blue, like there was a sort of shape of a blue T-bar shoe on her foot, and I was like, oh no, her foot's got stained by the leather, I must lick rub it off. And then I was like trying to rub it off and I was like, oh my god, it's a bruise. And her shoes were so small for her that they'd imprinted her little feet.
And she didn't. She hadn't learned.
Because she's an angel.
It's fine, they still fit, mummy.
She's like, I'm fine, they just hurt a little bit.
Angel with broken toes. That's so sad, isn't it?
And then I was like, I'm the worst mother in the world.
Oh, no.
Her shoes are too small.
We've all done it. It's like my son got glasses. And he was very, very visually challenged. And I didn't know, it was only his English tutor said, do you think he might not be able to see? That's why he can't write handwriting. I was like, hang on. And then we took him to the optometrist. They're like, and he's like, Q, question mark, smiley face. I was like, oh, I'm the worst mother ever. He can't write because I'm terrible. So there you go. Sorry, Hugo.
Oh, yeah. We've all done it. Well, that's terrible. A lovely story.
Grow back.
She's fine.
fine now.
Yeah, yeah. That's but yeah.
I mean, she is quite small. But
well, when she writes her novel in about 20 years, we'll see how fine
yeah,
she is.
Yeah, we'll see what that is. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's been an absolute joy to have you, Abigail. Thank you for coming back on the podcast. Go on, say things about your book again. When's it out?
Come on.
It's out on the 2nd of March. It's called Mother's Day. It's a thriller. So it's very much, if you like something to... It's not... I wouldn't say... It's not very intellectual. It's like a good read.
And lots of amazing people have said lovely things about it.
Oh, thank you. All the
buzz is in the air.
Yes, some nice people said. Janice Hallett said a nice thing, which was nice because she writes all those amazing books of, like, the Alperton Angels. And anyway, she's brilliant. Anyway, she liked it. Lots of people liked it, but which was nice because you sort of write a book and then you're like, oh God, is it rubbish? I don't know what it is anymore. But it's so big, I'm really not very good at selling, am I?
It's a big to-do.
No,
but it's a big old thing, right? And it's a weird thing. Like I was going to say, like, as a performer and someone who gets immediate feedback, writing a book is a completely different thing because you're like going, it's just going out there and you don't know. I mean, I'm very needy when it comes to getting validation and things like that. And when I wrote the
book, we've established
like,
we all yeah, need attention. Yeah.
It's a big thing. My only advice, but you've written.
Yeah, no.
You don't need to check Amazon every 3 minutes, which is what I did for about, I don't know, 6 months. Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. I'm trying not to read anything that anybody says, even the good stuff, because I know that it doesn't matter how much people like it, I'll still be going, that's not good enough. I'll see all the bad things in
you'll,
it. And
you'll remember them. Yeah, but I remember a review of my book saying, yeah, we get that she really likes her comedy friend and she likes wine, blah, 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 blah. I thought, that's
again, I had a very difficult day.
I just wanted to let it out.
Buy the book, everyone. It's brilliant. Buy the book. I know what you mean. I'm terrible. I'm not bad at selling other people's things. I've just said they should buy your book. But like just today I did an Insta story going, you should buy tickets to our show. It's a good time. I mean, I can't promise you that. And I was like, what are you doing? You're so bad at this.
Oh, don't come.
You specifically can promise them a good time. That is for 10 years, you've been carefully constructing a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you
and
know.
So, yeah, I feel like, you can promise
Ellie and I have different opinions about this. I can fly for our show and go, this is great. And Ellie goes,
I'm clenching now.
No.
I've sold it to the telly. Does that help?
Oh, there you go.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know if it'll get made. But, you know, I've sold it. There have been options. So you never know. That'll be
let's know when the auditions
now
are for the comedy sidekick characters you've written into the screenplay, the teleplay.
I should be playing that myself.
Well, you know, let's do this properly. Why don't you come and see our funny comedy show? It's so good. Go to scummymummies.com for dates and tickets. How's that?
They're very funny people.
Oh, thanks.
Sometimes.
Where are we going in March?
Oh my God. This year we're going all over the shop. We're going to
Milton Keynes.
Three big shows at the Winchester Theatre Royal. Then off to Newcastle for a massive show. Please come to that.
I've got it up.
That's an 1,100 seater, so we need to sell a few tickets for that one. Bugger.
Lichfield, Rotherham, Twickenham, Lowestoft, Oxford ? No, we're not going there. That was my mistake. Mike Galveston. Don't know. That I really fucked that up, actually. Crewe, Leeds, Birmingham.
Yes, they're good gigs.
Colchester.
Two nights in Colchester.
Do it like the chain lady?
Yes.
Colchester, Wimborne, Basingstoke.
Very good.
Taunton. Sorry, I had to load the next page.
That's really good. This is the content we need.
Calling at Horsham, Bristol, Tunbridge Wells. And that takes you through to September. So there we go.
That's fine. Yay. That'll do. People can't plan that far ahead anyway.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's the end.
That is the end. Also, just a shout out to people of Manchester. We have tried to get gigs, but the people of Manchester in the theatre area won't email us back. So stop asking us because, I mean, we want to come, but
yes, yeah. The venue we used to go to, Zed Arts, sadly is closed down. So if you know of a theatre or if you work for a theatre perhaps in Manchester that wants us to come to Manchester, of course we'll go to Manchester, but currently, you know, we can't come and do it on a traffic island, can we?
No, cannot. No.
You can try. Well, right, maybe we're just being negative.
Excellent.
Thank you, Abigail.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
No.
but you need a double act. You need a couple of, you know, a
couple of.
We could be like a couple of policemen, you know.
Policemen. Do you know what? Everybody I know, everything I watch on Netflix has got a comedy policeman in it. He's a friend of mine. Literally,
it's quite a niche, Abigail.
Everything I watch, it's either comedy policeman or crones.
Mm.
My friend Ella was in a Netflix thing recently, and I was like, when did we become crone?
Wow. Well,
she's gone. Mm. She's crone. She's very good. Crone. She's a very good actor. But
well,
I was like,
this is it.
Hang on.
My dad, this is very, his this most is a famous story. Role, comedy policeman in The Young Ones. There you go.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is, if you don't put me in your screenplay as a comedy policewoman, then you're breaking a family tradition.
Okay. No. Well, I don't
which obviously only go back three generations because she was left on a doorstep. But anyway, that's all right. That's, you know, here we are.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.